I'll do a quick roll call. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's definition structure drafting team meeting on Thursday the 19th of July. We have Cheryl Langdon Orr, Yelvi Atuhun, Sev Anantelichin, Eduardo Diaz, Olivier Crepin Leblanc, Renalia Abdul Rahim, Natalia Enciso. We have apologies from Holly Raich, Sala Taminekai Waimaro, Carlton Samuels, and from staff we have Heidi Ulrich and myself, Gisela Gruber. If I could please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Cheryl.
Great. Thank you very much. This is one of the four drafting team subgroups that we've created to actually put pen to paper and do some work with an aim of getting at least substantive material written for the various sections of the modified rules of procedure. Yavi, to answer your email, because I was not going to do it in the small amount of time I had to myself while I'm having dinner in Japan, the rest of the drafting teams will have their purpose and focus done when I have the appropriate connectivity. At the moment, from Japan where I am, my tablet does not want to edit the wiki pages at all. It literally involves me saving after every word, so I'll be damned if I'm going to do it until I get back to Australia. So it will happen. It'll happen soon. It's just not going to happen before probably Tuesday of next week. This one, however, has had its purpose and focus defined for us. And what we have ahead of us in today's call is to, other than note the apologies, which unfortunately include someone we had listed as holding the pen, Holly Roche has apologised, unfortunately, so it's a little difficult when we don't have a pen holder. What we're doing, however, is, and we don't have Sarah as well, so that's two of the pen holders. We were intending to ensure that everyone knew what the purpose was to be. These will be self-determined calls. We assume that the drafting teams will spend a reasonable amount of time working inter-sessionally, in other words, working on either the list that's been set up for you, or the wiki pages which are set up for you, and we also assume that those who hold the pen will tend to pick the brains and good ideas and majority agreements from any of the calls you hold, get them in some way, shape or form onto the wiki page. And someone needs to turn off the speaker on their computer. And I don't think I can stand me in stereo, so we need to fix that. The activities that we'll be doing in today's call will ensure that we all are parallel operating and what we're doing. We will ensure that each of the drafting teams, in this case the one that's pretty much the first section, knows the general, has agreed on a general layout and format that they would like to present the draft in. You have two pen holders proposed for your group, but we certainly would welcome any others, and it would be the pen holder's duty to capture what happens in the calls and ensure that anything that goes into comments or to list traffic is appropriately integrated into documentation. And we also need to appoint what would be more purely a rapporteur for each of the drafting teams. And here we actually do mean the rapporteur in the more common sense of the word, not the one that we've used for the ALAC rapporteur, but in fact someone who acts to record and report the outcomes of your deliberations. And that reporting, of course, will be to the at-large advisory committee, whose job it is to, in fact, accept, not accept, agree, disagree, or otherwise modify the product that the new rules of procedure will be. So that's the overview. Is there any questions at this stage? Now, I think I should be able to see people's hands up, and I'm not seeing any at the moment.
Cheryl?
Yelvi?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, Yelvi has her hand up.
Ah, right, I see that now. I'm a little delayed. Go ahead, Yelvi.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to be sure that I'm following. The sound was not very clear before. My understanding is that today you are... I didn't get really the program of the day because it was not very clear, but anyway, I can continue following. But if you can just repeat the main important things we are going to do today.
Okay. Certainly. And we might need to mute you again so we stop that echo. Thank you, Yavi, for the question.
Joined.
Have we lost Yavi? Okay. Right. Assuming, Yavi, you're still on the line, let me briefly run through it again. Each of the drafting teams, we have three primary sections that we have agreed to split the rules of procedure in. The last section actually has two subsections, so we have created four drafting teams. The purpose of this call is to look to the work of the drafting team for the first section, which is definitions and structure. In other words, all the things that describe what ALAC is, define what ALAC is, establish what it is meant to do, and show why it is doing it in reference to any of the bylaws or founding documents that create what it is that the ALAC has to do and the component parts, in other words, the members of the ALAC has to do. To make that drafting happen, what we will be doing is making sure in this call that everyone understands and agrees which of the rules you will be looking to review and modify. They're the existing rules. You'll recognise that none of them need to be kept in their form, and in fact none of them actually need to be repeated or simply modified. You can rewrite them if you so desire. You also, as a team, need to agree what parts or what aspects of structure and function of the ALAC are not currently met by any of the definitions and rules that we currently have. In other words, you're going to look at what the job you have to do is. Having established what that is, you will then agree on the general design, the format that you will want the pen holders, the primary drafters, to start capturing your agreements and proposals. After that, we will make sure that if there is any additional pen holders who wish to be nominated, that their names are agreed upon and recorded, noting that we have two current pen holders, neither of whom have been able to make this call, so it may be a good idea to have backups, and also a genuine role of rapporteur, where the rapporteur for this drafting team will be ensuring that there is regular and appropriate reporting back to the at-large advisory committee. And they also have a role in interacting with the regional at-large organisations and their monthly meetings. Yavi, have I explained to you more clearly the second time round why we've gathered today?
Yeah, okay.
Excellent. Eduardo, over to you.
Yes, I have a question. The purpose of the committee, I mean, of this subcommittee or the sub team, it is something. I think I said this before, but can we put that purpose in the wiki page? I mean, I haven't looked at it. I think maybe it's there, but it will help answering questions like what the Yaobi had. I don't know if you follow.
Okay. The purpose and focus that is on the wiki page is very general. You will find those same words on each of the drafting teams when it's copied and pasted into those spaces. The specifics for this particular drafting team is to look to the descriptions and definitions of the AILAC and officers and its representatives. As we previously discussed in earlier meetings, we do need to draw on and at least link or refer to the appropriate ICANN bylaws, because the casual reader of our current rules of procedure does not actually have a clear understanding of what the purpose of the AILAC, the Large Advisory Committee, is, nor do they have a clear understanding, reading our current rules, of what the structure is. Alan has pointed out, for example, in previous meetings, that the existing rules describe a mechanism by which a GNSO liaison is selected, and no such rule is actually referred to. So you're looking at the definition of the AILAC and its purpose, and the description of the AILAC, in other words, its 15-person membership, from whence they come, what is expected of them, and we would also include those liaisons, in other words, the representatives of the AILAC, being the liaisons, the casual appointments, and to a lesser extent, but could indeed be captured here in this drafting team, those people who are appointed from time to time at the groups. Does that answer it for you, Eduardo?
Yes, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, good. So,
Gerald, this is Heidi.
We have it for the... Yes, go ahead.
Sorry, Yaobi stated a question in the chat. He's asking, Cheryl, could you define again the role of a pen holder and what to do for today as they are not in?
Certainly. The role of a pen holder, and there's always more than one of them because we should have redundancy even though we failed to have that effectively today, is to ensure that from a meeting they capture the key points and that they are then able to put a draft of text together which to the best of their ability reflects the agreement, consensus, mood or alternates that the drafting team is putting forward for any of the new rules. That text is then subject to your drafting team review on a wiki and or email list, And, of course, it is also open to community consultation. So it would be really good, for example, to have notes taken at meetings, but we actually need some people to take the notes and turn them into actual rural language. And that's the job of the pen holder. Okay? As for what we do today, because they are not in, I would strongly suggest that they take the time to listen to the MP3 recording and to look to any transcripts that comes out of this call. And, of course, we are taking some notes, thanks to our amazing staff, in the summary and action pod, so that is another resource they could use. However, as we have failed to get either of our two pen holders to this call, if and when we ever get to the Section 5 of the agenda, we would be asking for anyone else who wishes to either have an equal ranking in this role or act as an assistant or alternate to the two that have been currently appointed. And so to that end, if anybody is thinking that they would like to be a pen holder for this drafting team and they'd like to make that known now rather than towards the end of the meeting, then they could perhaps be acting in that capacity from this point on. So as you've raised the matter, Yavi, what I might do is briefly move to item 5 of the agenda with the drafting team's indulgence and ask, is there anyone on this call who would act as an assistant, a substitute, or an additional pen holder for the drafting team? Don't all rush at once. I'm seeing Natalia writing. This could be exciting. I'm waiting with bated breath. She's taking notes down from help. Brilliant. Thank you so very much. At this stage, Natalia, I suspect that your notes will be an essential part of the early text drafting. And if you do not wish to be formally appointed as a pen holder, I certainly would like to appoint you to that role for the purpose of today's call, and I would encourage you to work directly with both Holly and Sala to get out the first drafting words. We really do need this set of text to be published for the rest of the team's review fairly quickly, remembering that the intention was to have at least a first run on this draft text available to us all on this section before Prague. So thank you very much, Natalia. I appreciate that greatly. All right, I'll just wait to see what's happening with the chat, but while we're doing that, if we can move back to... Okay, the technical question, Gisela or Heidi or Matt, how long it takes to get the transcript or recording?
Hi, this is Matt. Heidi?
Yes, thanks, Matt. The transcript takes should be posted today.
So it's on the same day as the meeting, depending on what time it happens.
Recording, yeah, definitely the recording was very quick.
Fantastic.
Cheryl, did you see the question to you?
Yes, I'm about to answer that as well.
Okay.
You know, it is not my intention to be chairing all of the group meetings. It's my intention to replace myself in every way, shape and form that I possibly can. And to that end, I would suggest that one or other, or all of, if they want to share the role, the pen holders Rhino Norton should be urged to take them, but I would also see the role for the rapporteur. I think it would be appropriate, should this drafting team decide to ask the rapporteur to also formally conduct the meetings. This has got to be something that is very much to meet the needs of each drafting team. So we don't need a single style or stamp across things until we bring our text all together. The deadline for the text from the pen holder, that's actually something that you will all decide on when we get to later parts of our agenda. But let me assure you, I would be keen to have the text from this team somewhere in the next 7 to 10 days. Okay? If it can be sooner, then that means that the team can start working on it sooner. But I don't want to put unrealistic expectations on people who aren't at the meeting. Did I answer your question, Renata? Remember that there is basically a three-week cycle between each of the main teleconferences. You can have additional teleconferences if you so desire, but the main joining and touch point calls will be on a three-week cycle. But you'd want to have text out halfway through each of those cycles, I would think, to give enough time for feedback and so you come to the next meeting with radically modified or agreed text. Okay. So, let me first of all have you on that. Natalia, of course, is a lawyer. Holly is a lawyer. And Sara is a lawyer. So we have all of the pen holders as lawyers for this particular team, and I think they're ahead of you there. Yeah. One thing we're not sure of is people who have the ability to write the correct language, but what we must also remember is that our intention is for a plain language result. We're not trying to create something in legalese or lawyer speak. We are trying to make and is going to be not only easily understood by the non-experienced ICANNer or at-large community member, but your average person in the street should be able to understand it. And we also need to make sure that the language is plain enough and unambiguous enough that the translations into other languages and scripts does not create the errors that, of course, Natalia and the rest of the Lakwalo people have clearly suffered from, where there is misinterpretation when we have difference between an English version and a Spanish version of the regional rules. We want to make sure we avoid that in these new rules. And I see Dev is very keen on that one in particular. Can't imagine why, eh? Okay. So, let's now look at the existing rules that you're going to be dealing with. Basically, it's the first block of rules. Previous meetings we've gone through, it's not my intention to encourage you to start discussing what Rule 1 versus Rule 3 versus Rule 5 or 15. I think there's an 11 and a 12 in there as well, but they're pretty much the block that you should be looking at. What their exact text is, I just need to make sure that you all understand. If it is an existing rule that refers to the AAC and its activities, the membership of the AAC, and any representation of the AAC, in other words, any appointment, selected person, or elected person who acts on behalf of the ALAC. In other words, anything that refers to what the ALAC does and how it's developed, and most importantly, anyone who acts on behalf of the ALAC. And to that end, I would strongly encourage you to consider if you should not look to the very significant appointments that are made to the nominating committee as well. You may wish to add to the existing rules the representation that ALAC selects each year by sending 5 individuals, one from each geographic region, to serve on the nominating committee. Perhaps we can have that as our first point of discussion. I'm sure you'll all agree that talking about what the ALAC does, referring to the various bylaws and creation documents that brought it about, what its purpose is, how its number of 15 is drawn from both the those who are selected by the regions to serve as ALAC members, being 2, one in alternate year to the other, and that is actually bylaw mandated. We cannot fiddle with that. That is an ICAN bylaw, so we have to make that plain language and understandable. And also the one from each region provided by the nominating committee process. We will also be including formal liaisons. They're the bylaw mandated liaisons, the liaisons to the ACs and the SOs. The appointments that we make and the newer rules that have come in where we have been appointing not liaisons to ACs and SOs, but liaisons of the ALAC to various subcommittees and work groups, including work groups that are not internal to the at-large community in ALAC. So, for example, we had formal representation not just by members on JAS work group, but we had someone appointed to act on behalf of the ALAC as a liaison. So there are the groups that we know we want to have discussion points on. I'd like to open the floor now for whether you think this is a good opportunity to also run some text on the ALAC appointed nominated committee members. I'll just call for anyone to start a discussion on this before I continue on. Eduardo, you served as a non-com appointee, and obviously Olivier has as well. Do you believe that it would be a good thing to have how one is selected by the ALAC and some expectations, for example, that you are to act in the best interests of the at-large advisory committee, for example, in your duties as a non-com appointee? Do you believe they would be useful pieces of text to have in this first section? Perhaps I'll go to you first, Eduardo.
Yes. When I was appointed to the non-com, I was told, I'm not sure if we was at ALAC or the non-com, that I wasn't representing ALAC at all in the non-com, which I found, or the region. So I found that confusing. I don't know if that's what you're referring to.
That's exactly what I'm referring to. Olivier?
Thank you very much, Cheryl. It's Olivier for the...
You might be muted, Olivier.
It takes me a little while to get unmuted. Am I muted now?
No, you're good now.
I'm good now. Okay, so not only am I unmuted, but it also takes a while for my voice to reach you at the Antipodes, or should I say it's not even the Antipodes, it's in Japan. But yes, same thing as what Eduardo says. We were told that, on the NOMCOM, that we were not there to represent our own community or our own constituency, depending on who we were. We were there to represent to find people for the best interests of ICANN as a whole, as an organization. So having some wording in the ALAC rules of procedure for those people to represent ALAC on the NOMCOM might be something which is incompatible with the NOMCOM's own rules.
I would not suggest it's incompatible. I would suggest it needs to reflect what they are. Our rules should reflect that.
Well, I think that ultimately we, as the ALAC, I think that the best interests of the ALAC and of at large are the best interests of ICANN. Drawing a parallel between the two might
Absolutely.
Be the solution in saying that by the fact that our own delegates to the NOMCOM are going to act in the best interests of ICANN, we believe that this would be the best interests of the ALAC. But it's a fine line, and I don't know whether we need to have that in the rules of procedure.
Okay, so that's still open. Let's see what Yavi has to say. Go ahead, Yavi.
I think maybe we just need to find the right word, because in the nominating committee, it is good to know that people are coming from ALAC, and the role that people are going to play in the nominating committee is to help the nominating committee to sometimes get information about candidates from the region. So definitely we need to put some work referring to this work, but the point is to find the correct word. If NOMCOM said that we are not representing ALAC, just to say that we are not going to defend the candidate, even if it's not good, but anyway we are coming from ALAC, or we are coming from ALAC on the behalf of the region. So we need to put it somewhere, but to find the correct way, the correct word later. Thank you.
Thank you, Yavi. Yes, I think what I'm hearing is that something needs to be said, but we need to be very careful and very particular about what needs to be said. That whatever is said should make it very clear what the role of a NOMCOM appointee from the ALAC is. And obviously we have the benefit of being able to link to whatever are the current expectations that NOMCOM normally provide. But, for example, we've had some years where the NOMCOM has specifically said they want people who have extensive networks in a particular region. And it's absolutely no use for us to send somebody who does not have a wide network or set of names that they can tap into to get fresh fodder into the mix, if that is what the NOMCOM desires at any particular time. Go ahead, Olivier.
Thank you, Cheryl, for the transcript. I think that you are somehow pointing at, well, we can't call it a minimum set of requirements, but perhaps should we mention guidelines as to what would be desirable in a NOMCOM appointee? Is that the sort of thing that we might wish to include?
I think that would be a wise way forward, but what I would do, listening to what was said at one of our previous calls, our group call, is that rather than put extensive text into our rules, we will say that there are guidelines, and then we will link to whatever the current guidelines are, which gives us the flexibility of updating the guidelines when they need it, and not necessarily affecting the rules of procedure per se. Did that make sense? Olivia?
Yeah, that does make sense. Yes, Cheryl, it's Olivia here.
Terrific. Thank you. Eduardo, over to you.
Yes, it makes sense what you're saying. I think it will give us more flexibility. What I wanted to say is that, you know, it's one of the minimum requirements, at least you have been involved with ICANN a minimum period of time. I mean, I'm talking more about having a big network, just because, you know, ICANN is a complex ecosystem, and the person that we send to the NomCon should at least know what's going around.
Absolutely. Now, I'm probably not going to encourage you to make a specific time, but I would encourage you to use language that indicates a high level of understanding of ICANN and its component parts. The reason being is we may find, for example, someone who is a fellowship alumni and who has engaged in a broad cross-section of the ICANN world might be in an ideal position, and yet we might have someone else who has spent 10 years just in one little sector and doesn't know what happens in the rest of ICANN, but, you know, has been an excellent at-large structure representative, or perhaps just a person who, remembering that we don't necessarily need to appoint ALAC reps, you know, might be somebody who's you know, been around for 10 years, but they've only engaged in a very narrow field in an ICANN. And you'd need to perhaps make a understand, I should say, that the ALAC would be making a value judgment when they compare and contrast that. Go ahead, Olivier.
Thank you, Cheryl. It's Olivier for the transcript. I agree with most of what you're mentioning, although I think we also do need to leave it to the ALAC to make its own judgment at the end of the day. Yes, having the desirable characteristics, someone with a good address book, a good understanding of ICANN, a good understanding of internet governance, even outside of ICANN, I think is particularly important. From my experience on NomCom, a significant part of the discussion was looking at the outside environment and not only looking at the navel of ICANN itself, which unfortunately we as it, the ALAC and each SO and AC separately tend to just look at what's in front of our door. The discussion was encompassing a lot of further things outside of ICANN as well, general strategic characteristics, etc. So that's something of importance. That said, someone who does not have a component of those skills might also be a good appointee on the NomCom. The informal feedback that I have from various people about how things went this year is that of, you know, our appointees did very well. Even those who might have been very new in the system were very eager. So maybe there's also a characteristic of that person being able to fully immerse themselves in the NomCom and having the time that they can spend actually outside of NomCom calls to try and first find candidates, because that's not something that happens during the calls or within meetings. That's something that happens in everyday life. But then also being able to think carefully and argue a point in an amicable way and in a consensual way, so as to be able to put their point across without causing any fracas, as one would call it, across the NomCom and across ICANN. So maybe the diplomatic skills.
I'd like to suggest, certainly, that what we have at this point is the ability to say, from the Johnson, include this in the discussion, but in a lean way. In other words, we will have some minimalist text which makes it clear that there are guidelines, and then we will refer to them as an external document, etc. But we might want to have very clear language that ensures the reader of the rules understands that it is the ALAC, the 15-person ALAC, who appoints five people from the five regions on an annual basis. That the characteristics they will be looking at will be included in, but may not be limited to, the set of guidelines that for this year we can look at whatever that was this year. And I don't know whether Rob Hall has given you the ones for next year, if there's any modifications yet, but if we have a placeholder for that, it would be good. And that then we ensure we have some of the diligence language competency in building consensus and in detailed groupthink and negotiation skills, which I believe you were alluding to. So we might want to use some of that language as well. To that end, I think we probably can get some roughly or lightly sketched out language out of our pen holders from that. Olivia, what I would like to do though, because you've held the role of NomCom as well as Roberto, of course, but you've also had the benefit of getting the feedback in your capacity as chair, as well as having to answer what seems to be the annual questions and confusion from some of the regions who, for some reason, feel they appoint the nominating committee representative, when in fact it is a suggested list. It is a way of reaching out to ensure that the ALAC has talent from the regions, that the regions get involved at all. I might ask you if you would look closely to assisting the penholders on that language, so that those annual arguments that I know you have, and certainly I had before you, might be avoided up front in the rules of procedure. How does that sound?
Cheryl, it's Olivier for the transcript. Yes, that's fine. I'd be happy to assist the pen holder and to insert additional listings from my own experience, both on the NomCom but also on the receiving end of the feedback from the NomCom chair and NomCom members. Thank you.
Certainly. And the confusion that we have often had when, for example, with North America at one point, the Naralo sent a list of people who they had gone through an extensive process. I think they may have even had some form of polling or selection involved. They first of all only wanted to send the name of the person that polls top, but they were encouraged to in fact send all of the names, and then the ALAC appointed someone who was not on their list at all. And we need to make it clear, I think, in the language that's drafted, that is in fact the absolute right of the ALAC to do that. I know from Heidi in the chat that the at-large call for delegates to the NomCom will go out on Tuesday the 24th. So if we could have some rough language put together around that time, that might be quite useful as well. Okay, do we need to go any further on that, or do you think we have given our pen holders enough to start with in terms of not just the 15-person ALAC, how they are populated by both regional or RALO appointments and regional NomCom appointments. You might also, however, want to ensure that the drafters, the pen holders note that the ALAC is not representative of regions per se either. that when one becomes a member of the ALAC, when you are part of the at-large advisory committee, your overarching duty is to act in the best interests of ALAC and the at-large community. That is language that is in the existing rule for our various appointments, various liaisons and appointments and things. Use that type of language. That language might need some finessing, but what we need to make clear right up the top is that when I was appointed by AP Rilo, my job was to bring what I knew of AP Rilo's views with me, but not to be directed by AP Rilo in what I did, because there might have been a time when what was in the best interest of the global internet community, of the global at large, and indeed of the 15-person ALAC, the 5-region ALAC, may have been quite counter to what was a consensus or a considered preference from my own region. So it's a little bit like Eduardo was describing for the non-com. When you step through the door, you bring with you the continuing advice and experience from your region, which is why we encourage, if not require, that's up to the metrics group, that our ALAC appointments from the regions, and indeed encourage the NAMCOM appointments from the regions to attend the regional meetings and be engaged with regional activities, so that they do know what is going on and what the feelings of the wider community are. But you are not in any way directed by your region in what you do. There is one exception to that, and we need to note that early on, and that is with the election process for the seat 15. At the moment, what we can only do, I would suggest, is note in any rules with reference to seat 15 that there is a community-built consensus mechanism, and that at this stage, the ALAC members vote on conscience, and the electorate, the rest of the electorate, which is the representatives of the region, vote on instruction. It would be a silly ALAC person who ignored the wishes of their region, however, but that's not the way the current rules are written. So whatever we write in the section with reference to that, and we probably don't need to write it here, but we might need to asterisk and have a little footnote here, with the exception of possible guidance from established practice for the selection of the seat 15, because if that rule was to change in the future, if the community at large did for some reason want to have a different, more directed mechanism, we would have to accommodate that. So you just might need to have a bit of fine print on that non-directed rule. Now, what I'd like to move on to now, because we had longer at the top of the meeting doing some later items in the agenda, but also to run over some general explanations, is I'd like you to establish very clearly in your mind, and for the pen holder's benefit, what style of writing you're going to be wanting to produce. There was talk, as we broke the rules of procedure up into sections, for us to try and avoid a set of numbers, subsection, rigidly adhered to, you know, part 5, section 6, subsection H, that type of approach, that perhaps what we could do is have more textual, explanatory text at the beginning of different parts of the first section, and that we have fairly lean but quite unambiguous regulatory advice where that is needed, and that that could be in the form of a bullet point, or it could be a numerical list, or it could be the old-fashioned subsection or whatever. But that's something you really need to decide on now. Is it the wish of this drafting team to go with concise but explanatory text at the beginning of each section, and then a list which is bulleted or identified in some way which enunciates any specific rules? Or do you want to stick with the way she is writ at the moment, which is probably not lending reading? The floor is open. Go ahead, Olivier.
Thank you, Cheryl. I actually put my hand up but wanted to speak after everyone else, so I don't know, I can leave my place
for Eduardo. Okay, we'll go for Eduardo first then. Please go ahead, Eduardo.
Okay, I just want to have to understand what you're saying, or to understand what this means. The thing about structuring the document, this team will provide these instructions for the other teams. Is that the way it's going to work?
Well, because you're the first group, yes, I would suggest that the way you start structuring your part is going to very much influence the overall look and feel. It may be that one or two of the other drafting team may come back to us when we have our whole of group meeting and suggest that something is slightly tweaked or altered. But yes, you actually have the opportunity to set the template, I would suggest.
Okay.
There has to be some first mover advantage. Okay. That's obviously key to Eduardo. Olivia, it looks like you are on.
Thank you, Cheryl. It's Olivier here. Let me just answer this in looking at two different points of view. First, as ALAC chair, I often have to refer to the rules of procedure for various reasons, and it makes it a lot easier when each one of the rules are divided into such structure as to have numbering. I therefore don't need to quote the whole paragraph, whatever. I can just refer to, as cumbersome as it is, I can just put a link to the document and say this section, that section. And that makes it a lot easier for a chair to be able to point to the rules. Of course, I understand that if you just have rules which are one long list of subsections, it is very hard sometimes to understand, and there might be ambiguities, etc. And I wonder whether it might be worth looking at sticking to a very structured system with the subheadings, but having a companion document that expands on the subheading to remove any ambiguities in the subsections.
Okay.
So that would not have to address every single subsection, because I guess some subsections would not be ambiguous at all. But in those cases when there is ambiguity, the companion document would be able to supply the answer.
Okay, I think that's a very interesting option. Let's see what other people think about that.
1 minute remains.
Oh, I do like the countdown, but according to my clock, it's at least 4 minutes remaining. And somebody's going to make the magic get fixed on that, aren't they? Responses to Olivia's proposal? Hearing none, I'll make one myself and then I'll move to Renalia's point in the chat. Olivia, I like where you're heading because I too, my natural inclination is to quote Rule 5, subsection 3.2.5d, because that tends to put people right to exactly where you want them to look. But I do think there's something to be said for the more plain language and explanation that is sometimes required. I'm a little uncomfortable, Olivier, with segregation of the documents beyond things like referring to a guideline or referring to a operational procedure or whatever. My reason there is it allows people to only read one and say they didn't understand the other. Perhaps we could find a way of doing both. One way I've done what was an industry code of practice was to have necessarily simple and not too lengthy section introductions. In other words, say exactly what you're getting in this section. Section one is all about blah, 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 and then you almost do a little table of contents. In this section, you will look at da, 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 and they're listed. And in fact, these days they can be hyperlinked, of course, to the more detailed bits. You can, of course, always have boxed out examples if people feel that the explanations need a little bit more. For example, in an industry code of practice which talks about, for example, in a contract, the font size, the size of the print or whatever. You put in a little bit of an example, but it's only a little tiny bit in a box on the side. And then you still have the new...
Cheryl, this is Gisela. We can't hear you any longer. We will try dialing you back. Thank you. Apologies. You dropped Cheryl just after the hour. You seem to have the same problem as Olivier.
It's Olivier here. If I may say, I've actually noticed this to happen on several calls. I think it might be something to do with the dial-out people.
Olivia, this is Keith. I will look into this with Adigo. Thank you.
With them, yeah. Thank you.
We're still trying to get Cheryl on the line. Apologies. And Olivia, I'm told that it is actually your providers, not the Adigo people.
Very strange. Okay, interesting.
That is unusual.
So that you're here, can Cheryl still hear us via the Adobe or not?
Cheryl, if you can hear us in the Adobe connected, Gisela, if you'd be so kind as to just put it in the chat. We are still trying to get hold of you through another network. Thank you.
Because then we can, we could ask Yaovi to ask his question.
This is Matt. I'm actually sure Shura has been typing since she's been disconnected. So if Yaovi wishes to ask his question, he should be able to do so. And Shura should be able to answer.
I have a question, but Gisela, there is another meeting at in an hour.
Sorry, Eduardo, no.
No? Okay. I got it wrong in my calendar.
Can you hear me, please?
Yes, Yaovi. Please.
Okay, thank you. I have to maybe go through the minutes also to better catch up what we did during this meeting. I still have a question about the various teams, drafting teams. And I would like to see maybe a general plan for this work of rules of procedure. Currently, our drafting teams are not based on the current structure of the rule of procedure. Like if you see the different sections in the current rule of procedures, our current drafting team is not based on what we have in this document. My expectation is to know at which point are we going to assign work, different work to the various group, or are we going to reorganize ourselves so that we can talk about structure? In other, my question is that group, our drafting team, is going to also look at the structure we like to have for the next version of our rules of procedure. So this is the clear question: is our this drafting team, is it the one that is going to see that structure, or it is after the work of the various drafting team that at some point we are going to decide to do something to continue? Thank you.
If I may, Yaovi, to thank the chair of you for the transcript with us. To some extent, that's part of the question that Renaria had asked as well. Because you're the first team, you probably get started, I hope. You probably will set the style fairly significantly, but you will have to work with the other drafting team to ensure that the style is tweaked so that all of the drafting teams are happy with it. But right now, we need your text down. The finessing can come a little bit later, and things which are very important, such as the consistency checks and cross-referencing that Renalia has quite rightfully pointed us to, still, of course, has to be done and for the document as a whole. Are you clear on that? I assume we are. Okay. We've had the addition of Natalia to assist the pen holders in absentia today. So I'd probably, unless someone else wants to come forward to that, leave that as a excellent triumvirate of lawyers to get on with the drafting for us. But I would like to call for nominations for the reporter or rapporteur, who will need to keep, for example, the ALAC up to date on where you are in progress with this design team, and also perhaps have a role with some of the regional at large organisation meetings when we're bringing them up to speed. Is there anyone who wants to put themselves forward for that role? Don't all rush at once. I recognise we do have a few absences today, so what we might do is ask for self-nominations on the list, and I'd encourage those of you who are on this call to do think very seriously about being a rapporteur for this drafting team. Obviously, you would have to look at if you're attending other drafting teams as well. I think it probably would be work that needs to be spread across a number of us. Okay, let's quickly, I see Olivia agrees with that. So that's actually action item, that we put out a call for someone who wishes to act as rapporteur for this drafting team. Some of the AIs include sourcing the current guidelines or preferred characteristics or desirable characteristics for the nominating committee appointees from the existing stock of papers and experience. We have an action item on Olivier to bring his sage-like wisdom into that part of the text with the design team. Can I ask, was there any other particular AIs that we now need to pick up at the end of this call? If not, then I would suggest that what we do is at the leadership team meetings, which happen the week prior to a conference call. So whoever is one or more of the pen holders or rapporteur and a pen holder should attend that call when they get cycled around, because that will be setting the agenda and making sure that any action items from the previous call are picked up and are ready for either reporting or explanation on what status they are up to. So that will be something that happens in two and a half weeks' time. I'd also like to suggest that if we can, we bring across the relevant workshop material from Prague and put that in our space as well. So, Yavi, will we be using it up and links for the next calls? All of the drafting team calls will have their own links, I would have thought, to their own chats, but that might not be the case. I haven't thought of that in detail. Gisela, how do you want to do that? Will we all be using the same Adobe room and just cleaning up after each other or after ourselves, or what do you want to do?
Sorry, it's Gisela here. Each drafting team has their own Adobe Connect room.
Okay, thank you for that. Which then means the answer to that is yes. We will be using the same link, not another link, for the next call. Okay.
Sorry, Cheryl. If there is for this specific drafting team, this is the Adobe Connect. For all other drafting teams that Yalvi happens to be on, the AC room will be on each meeting invitation.
Good. Actually, just on that, can we also try and get it higher up in the calendar as well? Perhaps at the venue, at the location in the calendar section. It just takes a little bit of time to get through to a wiki page, and then from the wiki page to, well, in this case it went to the general page, and then you have to follow it specifically to find the actual meeting page. So if we can, that might also make it easier. Yes, Romani, of course I can stay on the line. It's not a problem at all. Okay, there's any other businesses to be raised? Now is the time to do so. Calling once. Calling twice. Calling for a third time. Okay, we will put the summary notes and action items as listed and the chat out to the list. We will also look forward to the notes that Natalia will have taken, having an opportunity for you to share those and perhaps have a discussion.
Gisela here. It looks as though Cheryl's dropped, so we will dial out to her again. Ranali, if you'd like to stay on the line. Thank you.
Gisela, it's Olivier for the transcript. Whilst we tried to get get Cheryl back, was she just about to finish the call? So perhaps should we just adjourn this call, or are we waiting for her to adjourn it?
Yes, I believe she was finishing off the call. So Cheryl, unless you say otherwise, this call has been adjourned, and Cheryl has just dropped off the Adobe Connect as well.